You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
We're going to come back towards a seat, and it's Mother's Day today, and about 8 to 10 weeks ago, I was thinking about Mother's Day and praying about what we could potentially do, and I had this idea. It was something we've never done before, and that is a Mother's Day panel. And as I was praying about who to ask to participate, there's a ton of people who I could have asked, and I thought, I think it would be fun to hear mother or daughter. I happen to know a couple, and so I invited Tammy Toft, Grace Locke, Elise Cowan, and this woman here, Joanne Elizabeth Locke, who I know very well, to share with us today. And the purpose of what they're doing is a continuation in our Stand Firm series. The purpose of what they're doing is kind of a scripture that it talks about in Revelation chapter 12. And we put that up there for me, Jade. It says, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death." What we're hearing today is four women who I greatly admire and respect, who are going to be sharing aspects of their testimony in different contexts, both as moms, as women, as wives, as people. And as they're sharing this, you're going to hear that there's things that are common to your life as well. And there's an aspect of the testimony that God gives to us, which I would define the testimony being that which Jesus has done in our life to help us to grow in our relationship with him, that which he has done in bringing us from death to life, that we overcome the enemy because Jesus' death on the cross, the blood he poured out for us, but also the words that we get to speak to honor what God has done. And so as these ladies share, my prayer is that you would be blessed. And I also thank you, ladies, for your willingness to participate, because I know it's a challenging thing to do, especially when you've not necessarily seen, well, we've never done this before, so what's it supposed to look like? Well, we're about to find out. So I have some questions. And so, Grace, will you kick us off? For people who may not know your mom, how would you introduce your mom to them?
Hello. This is my mom, Tammy. She is a mother of four. I'm the third baby. She is a wife. She is has been a missionary in her life. She's been a pastor's wife in her life, and she's now an ordained minister. While she was a missionary, she was drawn. She's always been drawn to women, but specifically in this time of life, she was drawn to women coming out of prostitution and sex trafficking. And she started an organization called the Butterfly Project, where women coming out of that, and when they're ready to integrate back into the world and get a job, she would take them and give them a budget and take them shopping and help them feel confident and help them feel ready for whatever interview they have coming up, and really just allow them to start fresh. And in that, she would encourage them and she would speak life into them, and I got to watch her do that. Just personally, she is, I would say, just the walking fruit of the Spirit. Like, she is joy, she is peace, she is patience and kindness and gentleness.
Yeah, we sort of skipped that part. The tissue part.
That's my mom.
That's wonderful. Hey, Joni, will you answer that about your daughter? How would you introduce this girl, this woman?
This is Elise Elizabeth Cowan, and Elise is the last born of three. She's got two older brothers, so she can handle herself well. She has endured being a pastor's kid. She has been the one who's watched her brothers do stupid stuff and at times, and not wanted to cause us the same pain. That's a lot of pressure on a third born, on a kid. She does things with perfection. She gives her whole heart. She doesn't do anything halfway. She's all in. She's loyal, she's compassionate, she's wise, and she's very witty. She's got the best of her dad, and she's got the best of me in her. She has worked hard on herself in developing herself, her career as a midwife, as a mom, recognizing that she doesn't always make the being a mom look like so easy, but she doesn't give up. She keeps going. And when she messes up, she acknowledges it, and then she's like, okay, I want to do something different and make it better. And that's where her humble heart is that she's always trying. She loves unconditionally. And if you're her friend, you're her friend for life. My daughter is somebody that I love to be friends with and enjoy spending time with her. This is my daughter, Elise.
Tammy, would you like to do the same? How would you introduce Grace?
I would love to do the same. So this is my daughter, Grace. Yes, like she said, she is third born. There's one more after her. Her and the youngest one, number four, went to Europe with us. And this was very challenging for young people. She was 10? 13 when the other one was 10, when we left. That's a real hard age. So this is a brave girl, and she endured a lot there. There was a lot of good that came out of it, but also a lot of challenges. And I got to see her fortitude and her courage when we were there and her ability to let God use her in her school and in her way of just being her. And we were also each other's support and lifeline while we were there, because it was hard to be the only people who are different. And in any setting, if you're the one that's different, it's challenging. So we were the different ones. We didn't speak the language. We didn't look right. We didn't act right. But we were each other's support and best friends. Grace is also very accomplished. She's an incredible mother, and she has a career that I've had the honor of watching develop and watching her develop. And every time I got to see her, because we used to work together, every time I got to see her do something publicly, I was always just trying my hardest not to cry in front of people at work, because I was so dang proud of her. And she continues to excel in that career, and that's really fun to watch. But personally, I was thinking to myself just now, like, how I introduce you all the time is I always say my Gracie. This is my Gracie. And I think it's because I'm so proud of her and I love her so much that I just want to make sure everyone knows she's my person. This is my Gracie.
Thank you. Elise?
So I wrote out this whole page yesterday, and I was sitting on the front porch with Dustin, and I read it to him, and I said, this is all the things about my mom. What do you think? And he said, it sounds like a high school essay. Maybe try again. And so I started thinking, and I'm going, okay, my mom is this incredible woman. How can I paraphrase this into just a few short sentences? And I thought about the Proverbs 31 woman, and I thought, I'm just going to read it and see what sticks out to me. And as I was reading it, I went, this is my mom. And so what I've done, and I'm going to read to you guys, is I've paraphrased Proverbs 31, and I matched it to my mom and who she is. And so I'd like to read it to you. A good woman is hard to find and worth far more than diamonds. Her husband trusts her without reserve and never has reason to regret it. Never spiteful, she treats him generously all her life long. She shops around for the best deals and sales at Grocery Outlet and Big Lots. She enjoys a good find and providing for her family. She's like a trading ship that sails to faraway places and brings back charcuterie boards, knickknacks, and surprises. She prepares for her day and thinks ahead for what might be needed. She has vision and drive and dreams for the future. Eager to get started, she senses the worth of her work and brings her vision to life. She's skilled in the crafts of home and hearth, bringing to life mantles, display tables, and rooms that make you want to take off your shoes and stay a while. She's quick to help those in need. She doesn't worry about her family because she knows God has the final say. She faces tomorrow with a smile, and when she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say. Her children respect her and bless her. Her husband joins in with the praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you have outclassed them all. Charm can mislead and beauty soon fades. The woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in fear of the Lord. Give her everything she deserves and adore her with praise. Who you guys see on Sunday is who she is every single day. She's prepared, she's driven, she's trustworthy, she's kind, and she's taught me how to live my life in alignment with what God's vision and purpose is for me and not my own. And so I definitely hit the jackpot with my mom.
Well, I gather myself over here. This is open for anybody. And this would be, what would you say God's currently teaching you right now? What's something that he's working in your heart? Each one of you is a daughter, a sister, wife, mom, Christ follower. It's a lot of hats. What's he talking to you about? What's the Holy Spirit leading you into right now?
Right now, the Holy Spirit is reminding me that God's ways are not my ways, and how I think something should come about, that he has plans and purposes. And I've been reminded of that by having what he's teaching me and continuing to teach me is you have to commit your kids daily to me. You've got to commit yourself to me. You've got to commit your husband to me and trust me with each one of them. And I have found, because now that my kids, I have one in law enforcement and one that's a plumber that's, you know, under high places, low places, lots of equipment. And this woman here that is working hard as a mother of three and building her life and her home, it worries me. I feel stress, and I read a scripture today about how anxiety brings weight, and I was like, oh my goodness, that is exactly what I wrote, that I'm learning, the Holy Spirit is teaching me to quit trying to carry things I can't carry, and to leave it at Jesus' feet, and trust him with the people that I love the most.
Nice.
That was really good, Joni. So right now, I'm experiencing a whole new level of feeling really, really privileged to be used by God. Like, you know, it happens every day. God uses us, right, in different ways. And I've been walking with the Lord a long time, so this should not be news to me. But it seems like he just peeled back another layer and just showed me another level of what an honor it is to be used by him, and that he can use me anytime he wants to. It's not about me. It's not about my abilities. It's not about my experiences, although I have them and he can use them if he wants. But it's him, and I just get to be his mouthpiece or his arms to hug somebody or whatever he wants to use me for. And I just am like so, so blessed that I get to be used like that, because it's the coolest thing ever. I mean, being a mom, it's amazing, but that is better, being used by God. It just blows your mind, like the best thing that ever happened, like better than Disneyland. So I recently got to experience this when I had some friends who I was talking with, and she was sharing that she feels like she's just been really heavily burdened with this bondage for years and years, and she's never been able to get rid of it. And I've had an experience of being set free from bondages before, and I said, I can work with you. I got a really great book. We can go through it. We can pray together. We did that, and God did amazing things. But the whole time we were doing it, I kept saying in the back of my mind, I'm not the one, God. I'm not prayed up enough. I'm not holy enough right now. I'm not all these things. I'm not. And it didn't matter to God. He didn't care one bit. He just probably was like, you know, he did these kind of things, he'd probably be like, shh, be quiet. Stop. That's just silly. Stop that. I'm doing it, not you. So be quiet. I'm using you. And it was amazing to watch how God used that situation and to see that woman have freedom and then to continue walking in it, because we're still friends and I get to see the fruit of that over and over and over. And then another experience recently where I was going to thrifting, and I love thrifting, and I was like all about the thrifting, and I was single-minded. I was on a mission. And all of a sudden, God stopped me in my tracks and said, pray for a friend of mine named Maria, a missionary in Sweden. And I said, okay. And so I pulled into the next store, and I got out, and I went, walked away by a tree, and I just prayed for her. And I walked in the store. Okay, so how long it took me to walk from the parking lot to the store, she texted me, and she said, please pray for me. I'm going into something really hard right now. And I was like, ooh. So it's just so cool to be used by God like that, and I'm just reuniting with the privilege and the honor and the joy of that.
So my current life lesson right now is to not do my life in my own strength. And so this really came to my awareness probably maybe 8 months ago. God often talks to me when I'm driving. And I will just preface this with that I do cry, so bear with me. So I was driving, and I was feeling particularly run down at that time. And God started giving me a picture of what I was doing in my life. And what I was doing is I was going through, all right, I am a wife. All right, I'm walking along. I've got it. All right, now I'm a mother, and I have three babies, and they are all very close in age and very demanding. I've got this. All right, now I'm figuring out who I am. I'm Elise. What are my likes and what are my interests? All right, I've got this. I'm going to make room for that too. All right, now we insert work into that. I help as an administrator at the preschool that's here Monday through Friday. I've got this. And as I'm saying I've got this, it's like an added weight in my backpack every time, and I'm trudging along, and I've got this. Then I get called into midwifery, and as a full-time mom, wife, person, and employee, now I'm back in school. All right. I've got this, and I keep going, except now it's getting a little bit harder. Then I come on as an apprentice to two incredible midwives, and I've still got this, except now it's getting harder and harder to move. You throw in a clinic day. You throw in being on call and having to be ready at a moment's notice to go into somebody's home for I don't know how long until they have this baby. And the next thing I know, I see myself, and I'm face down on the ground with these backpacks on me saying, I've got this, Lord. And he's saying, you don't have to have all of that. I will take it. Rest and bring everything that you're carrying to me, and I will take it, and we're going to go and do this together. And so it's still a daily thing that I'm working on where every day I have to wake up. And something I learned from my mom recently is my prayer is, okay, Lord, give me what I need to get through this day. And I go and I just do baby steps. It's my other thing. Baby steps to the car. Baby steps to get ready. Baby steps to pack these lunches. And God gives me what I need every single day. And even knowing that I need to continue submitting my life to the Lord and having him take this weight from me, it doesn't just automatically happen every day. It's a challenge every single day because things lighten up and it gets easier and I go back to, yeah, I got this. And then I get smacked down on my face again and I remember, okay, no, I don't got this. I need the Lord and his strength and his mercy every single day. So that's what the Holy Spirit's teaching me right now.
Okay.
That was so good. Thanks. I think the Holy Spirit is teaching me a lot of things right now, and I still can't really quite decide what I want to say, so we'll see how this goes. But he's really teaching me kind of how to wake up, and figure out who I am. It's been a really long, you guys have kind of been through this with me as I've talked about various parts of this in life, but I think I'm just at a new stage of that, of figuring out who God wants me to be and what it means. I think I'm a person, I think everybody struggles and copes in different ways. I cope by shutting down is the way I do it. I struggle with depression, cope by shutting down, closing everything out, and I can just go through life on autopilot really easily. That's the easy way out, and it's what I do. So the Holy Spirit right now is teaching me what it means to wake up and what it means to have courage. I have to be very, very intentional about not just going on autopilot. I was telling Joni the other day, like, I have to set goals for myself, and it's actually really hard to meet them. I want to just give up really quickly and easily. So the goals are as simple as, like, I need to intentionally ask intentional questions to 6 different people today while I'm here at church, and not just go through the motions. And so that's what God's teaching me today. It's like, you know, he gave me certain things to work with. And it's my job to step out and have the courage to do them, to work with them.
Nice.
I was hoping once you learned who you were just set. So thanks for that.
That'd be great.
That was kind of a joke.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, as I'm listening to each one of you talk, whatever life stage you're in, we're confronted by the reality that we're not enough. That there's always going to be more. And I think there's a scripture that gets thrown around out of context. Well, God won't give you more than you can handle. He does say that, but it's only about temptation that he says that. He doesn't say that about the stuff that comes our way. And so as I'm hearing you talk about this, you know, this may be a continuation of the question I just asked, but current faith struggle, an area where you're having to navigate through it. I know Elise, you touched on a little bit with the, I've got this, but where are you seeing God meet you? How are you navigating through the demands of life? Especially, you know, being a grandpa, you know, when I have the grandkids for a day, and I need time to recover. I'm thinking they take them home with them when they leave, and they're there 24/7. It's like, how, and this may be, you know, Grace and Elise, you guys want to tackle this. Joni and Tammy, you can too. But what are some of those current life stage challenges you're navigating, and how's Jesus helping you in the middle of that?
I can start because mine's kind of a continuation of what I was just saying. For me, I think as a woman, a lot of us feel a lot of the emotions, right? Like we are very empathetic naturally, a lot of us are, and that goes for myself as well. And I think part of what I do is try to avoid getting overwhelmed by all of those feelings. Like I have a hard time sitting in a room full of people. If I'm one-on-one, I do really well because I can really feel that and like go off of each other and do well with that. But if I'm in a room full of people, I feel it all. And that's what causes me to doing that shutdown. So my current life struggle is deciding that I want to be overwhelmed. Like that's really hard when I have so many children and a job and, you know, a lot going on. But I don't want to avoid that overwhelming feeling or any pain that's sitting there waiting to be addressed. I want to be brave enough to step into it and feel it and know that God is going to get me to the other side of that pain or that overwhelming feeling. He has given me these things for a reason, and I can, like, the fact that I can feel other people's emotions is a gift for sure. It's definitely a gift that he wants to use. So not being afraid to fall, I guess, is what my current life struggle is.
Nice.
My current faith struggle is confidence and feeling like what I'm doing is making a difference. And I can remember the same conversation I was having with Grace in the kitchen, and it's like I felt like there was so much I didn't even know where to start. And I'm finding that I'm having to talk to myself, and I'm having to speak truth to myself. And some of the things that I'm having to tell myself is that I am anointed, just like you are anointed. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. He's working in you. He's activating you. Holy Spirit, activate, activate. Yes, we do that. He's doing that. So I have to remind myself that I can do this and to be bold and to take chances, be Jesus to the people around me, which is one of my life verses in everything I do. And that I'm enough. And I don't know if those feelings ever go away for each one of us, to know that you are enough. You are enough. God's love for you is enough. And when you get to walk out and live out his love in your life and for others, it's fruitfulness. And it brings about beautiful things, and not just the fruits of the Spirit, but it brings about a peaceful home. It brings about a peace in your mind. It brings about a peace in your work situation. And so, and that peace gives us confidence. You guys have felt it before when you're like, something's going good, and it's like, okay, like a little bit like Elise was talking about, I got this, but with Jesus and surrendering whatever it is to him, it's like you recognize, when I'm weak, he is made strong, is what's happening. That is the spiritual dynamic that is happening in that moment. I don't have enough, God. I don't know how to do this. I don't feel very motivated or have the courage to do what I think you're asking me to do, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it afraid, and I'm going to do it the best I can do it, and that's the minute God shows up and starts carrying me along with him in that to do that.
Nice.
Something that I've been having a struggle with for quite a while now is just praying for my family. When I would hear other women talking and they're saying, oh, I pray for my children and I pray for their spouses and I pray for my husband, and just this whole list of people that they pray for, I would get jealous and I'd think, why can't I be like that? Why is it so dang hard for me to pray for my family? It feels like you're asking me to, I was gonna say like climb a mountain or something, but that sounds nice. It's just really hard for me to pray for my family. And it was almost an embarrassment. Like, as a Christian woman, as a mom, as a wife, as a sister and a friend, it should be my first line of defense is to go into battle for prayer. And I should be praying for my son's wives. I have a very sensitive son. And I think, man, Lord, bring a wife that is just kind to him and does not break him. Anyways, so all that to say, I was really struggling with the embarrassment and maybe shame of being a Christian woman that does not pray for her family like I felt like I should. So it started kind of bubbling up inside of me. And then I went to a Bible study that my mom was leading on a Tuesday. And the overall theme of that was how powerful prayer really is and how we live in this physical world, but there's also a spiritual world that's very real. And prayer should be our first line of defense because it aligns us with the Lord and his will. And then also it's recognizing that God is the ultimate power over all of this, and I really don't have control over any of it. And so I started thinking, okay, I know that prayer is really powerful. It should be my first line of defense. Still feels really hard, even knowing that. And then that next day, I went out to lunch with my dad. We had a great lunch. We went to Grateful Gardens. It was a great server, great experience. But I just had this inside of me, like, I need to tell somebody that this is really hard for me and how embarrassing, you know? It's like not that big of a deal, but it felt like a big deal. So finally, when we were leaving, we're walking to the car, and I just blurted it out. I'm like, it's really hard for me to pray for my family. I don't want to pray for my husband. I don't want to pray for my kids' spouses. Like, what's wrong with me, basically? Why is this so challenging? And it was just getting it out there and shining light to it, where all the shame and the darkness that comes with that goes. And it was almost like a release, if you will, like, okay, that secret's out. And so I've been learning that when I start feeling these things, I just need to get it out there with somebody that I trust so that I can start working on it. So it's something that I'm still currently working on because I know that it should be a part of my daily practice. But it's just a really big struggle for me.
Sure.
Bravo, Elise. Joni, your answer just, I really connected with what you said at the end on this question. Because like I was sharing earlier, I've been struggling with just feeling like not enough for God right now. Like, you can't use me right now, God. I don't have it. I'm not walking with you like I used to when I was a missionary. I'm working right now. I have a job. It takes up my whole brain. And you're going to have to ask someone else, God, because I'm not useful for you right now. And he just didn't listen to me. And he kept wanting me to do stuff. And I kept saying yes. But every time I would say, okay, I'll do it. But you know I can't, right? You know what I got to give you right now. He didn't care. And what I've been discovering out of this is that, like, even when Louis asked us to do this, I said, yes, I will do this. It's a good idea.
And I started by saying, Grace is doing it, so would you do this too? It's like, I know if we get Grace, maybe Tammy will do it.
Like three times I almost told you, I changed my mind. You don't want to know. I don't have anything to say, but apparently I do because I'm talking a lot. But what I've been learning out of this is that it's, for me to be saying that is actually really selfish and self-focused because it is not me at all. I can't do anything on my own strength, but my strength, my voice, my experiences, my heart, everything I give away is coming from God. It's not coming from me. If it was, then yeah, we'd be in big trouble. Very limited here, but it's not. And I am only a puppet for God, a handmaiden for my God. He can use me. He can use my mouth. He can use my experiences. He can use my hugs. He can use my heart. And that was very, very freeing to me because this was a real struggle. Like, I was like, I'm not even going to tell anybody because I am just so ill-equipped right now, and that's embarrassing because I'm an ordained minister and a missionary, and I should have all these things, but I didn't because everything was just getting poured into working after I hadn't had a career for so many years because I'd been a missionary, and it took, like, all my strength to work, and so I just, that was it. That was all I had. But it's been really freeing to just get my head on straight and see this correctly, like, it's God. I'm just hands and feet for him.
The question I would like us to wrap up with is this one. What have you learned about faith or about relationship with Jesus from Elise and Grace, from your mom, Tammy and Joni, from your daughter? What have you learned? Not everything. It's like a main thing.
As a mother, a woman, it could be a dad, as we are instilling God's word into our children and to the next generation, it says in Isaiah, God's word does not return void. What we speak to our children, the truth about themselves and about who God says that they are, and how we bring God's word into our everyday conversations, and our words and our conversations are seasoned with love and wanting the best for one another, that unconditional love for our family. I think that has been one of the things that I've got to see from my mom and my mother-in-law, Peggy, and I've got to see that in my own life, and now I'm getting to see that in my daughter's life, and then in this next generation of littles in our family, seeing them established and rooted in God's word, and the blessings that come from being rooted and established in the word and in Jesus. Life is good. There's hard stuff, but it's good. It's good. We were just in Puerto Vallarta, and you could run into people, and there were multiple times I'm like, they have had a really hard life. Like, and I wasn't judging them. I was just, you could see it on their face and their body and how life had taken toll of them because of choices that they have made. And I pray for them. I pray for them in that moment. But then I'm also thankful. Thankful for God's covering and his blessing over my family and over the generations as we press forward and give our lives to Jesus.
Yeah.
What my mom has taught me about faith is very practical, actually. My mom's a very good teacher, and she never assumes that you should know something. It's one of my favorite things about my mom is she doesn't ever make anyone feel stupid for not knowing something. She will very happily and excitedly teach you whatever she knows and hand off any knowledge she knows to you. When I was a kid, I would get really scared at night, and I would go to her, and I would be like, I'm freaked out. And she gave me very practical things to do to get through that fear. And I remember them to this day because it's what I tell my son to do now. hold on just a second. Okay. She would say, first, you need to pray. Second, you need to sing worship songs. And third, you need to start reading the Word. And once you get to the other side of those three things, it's gone. You're done. It's good. And it would work, and it's what I tell my son now. And you do that enough, and you do that with enough faith that it works. Prayer works. Reading the Word works. Now, in my life now, it's transferred over. You know, that's a very small children's lesson that has turned into the way that I live. And it's kind of like what Elise was speaking to, and it's that my gut reaction is those practical things. It's to pray in the Spirit. If there is too much fear, if there is so much happiness, if there is any heightened emotion, I immediately start praying to God. And it's something that she taught me, and I think it has led my life very well.
Thank you. What Grace has taught me is her transparency is really amazing to me. She can just share so honestly about her life without fear and without like her own self-consciousness. She just transfers her knowledge or her experience so easily and so genuinely, and people really connect to that and really gain from it. And I have loved watching her do that. I told her the other day, like, every time you're going to say something, if I hear your voice and I'm like in the foyer, I come running. I'm like, I need to hear this. Not because she's my daughter. I mean, that's enough reason. But because she says good stuff, because she speaks so transparently and from her heart and her life experiences, and she's just not afraid to share that. And she's just honest and genuine and transparent, and I love that so much. And even if she's going through a hard thing, like, she shared a phrase with me once recently in the last year or so. It was, let it burn. And what she was getting from that, and that was like driving her at the moment, it was just something God was using in her. And what she meant was, don't run away from the hard stuff. Just let it burn. Feel it. Go through it. Because God's doing something. There's a reason for it. And if you turn it off, run from it, whatever, you're not gonna grow. And I loved that. So I took it, and I use it too now. And sometimes it's like the only thing I can say when it hurts really bad, and I don't know if I can get through it, but I can just say that, it's okay, let it burn. And when you do that, there's growth.
Nice. I'm really sorry to ask this. Can you just very quickly ask the question one more time so I can make sure I hit it?
I didn't answer the question.
I thought you did great,
right.
Mom.
You know what? I wasn't even going to bring it up to you.
I thought it was great.
I've been married to you for 35 years. And
it was good insight.
You're going to say something. That's okay. Elise, the question is, what have you learned about faith, your relationship with Jesus from your mama?
Okay, great question. So one of the markers in my life when I decided to follow Jesus, I was at a summer camp, and the speaker was talking about what it means to mature in Christ and what that looks like. And he said, you wake up and you be faithful and you spend your day being faithful. And then you go to bed and you wake up the next day and you be faithful, faithful. And then you go to bed. You wake up the next day and you be faithful, faithful, faithful. Go to bed. You wake up the next day. You be faithful, 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 and so on. And then eventually you wake up and you be fruitful. And your faithfulness and your long obedience in the same direction becomes fruitfulness. And that's something that I've gotten to witness over the span of my life is the maturity of my mom and the the long obedience in the same direction, where she is faithful every day, and she rehearses God's promises, and she knows that God fulfills his promises, and she knows that God has the final say, and that whatever we're going through, God will see us to the other side. And so I've learned, now that I'm a mom, that I can hold on to those same promises, and that I can be faithful, and then the next day be faithful, and that eventually I will be fruitful, because I've been able to see how my mom has sown over the years in her life and the beauty that's been able to come through it. So the other quick one is that I would rather be blessed than rich. That is a huge one in my life. That was a life lesson that my mom had, and she shared that a few times here, and I can see over and over how God's blessings far outweigh any kind of money that you could ever make. So
yeah. I want to say thank you, ladies, for your willingness to share from your hearts. And also let us see a snapshot of your relationships with your mom, with your daughter. And Hillsiders, I hope that you have heard something today that men and women, that has built you, that there's principles in here that are practical, that are able to be lived out and put into your everyday life. And I trust that what God wants to do in you, he's going to be meeting you right there, providing what you need, and he's going to complete that which he started. It's his promise. And ladies, you are the crowning act of creation. The last thing God made before he said, it's done. He made you. You are wonderfully made. You are fearfully made. You are a gift. You are a treasure. You are valued. Without you and your uniqueness, we're incomplete. My prayer is that in this coming year, you will experience the rich blessing of God touching your life, but also of knowing who you are, and also knowing you are enough in him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I bless each person in this room, but I pray a special dispensation upon each woman in this room and each woman who's hearing this. I ask you to cause them to be blessed richly beyond their wildest imaginations. Lord, young and old, I pray that you would do a new thing, Lord, and you would also do a completion thing in people's lives. I thank you that you're the one who gives every good and perfect gift, and we trust you in the middle of all this to do what you say you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we say thank you to the ladies for sharing with us today? And I want to just speak a blessing over you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may Jesus bless you and keep you. May Jesus make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May Jesus turn his face towards you and give you peace. Happy Mother's Day. Have a great day.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's web@hillside4.org.